More of us are generally living longer. With that comes an increase in the number of illnesses and diseases, including Alzheimer's and multiple forms of cancer. That means there's a need to find and train more people to care for aging Americans. At the same time, though, what can be done to live healthier lives in those extended periods? That's part of the work done by Esther Sternberg, director of the University of Arizona's Institute on Place Well-Being and Performance. She discovered some of the tenets of healthy aging when she was visiting friends on the island of Crete and saw a combination of diet, spirituality, and sleep, among other things. Our co-host Steve Goldstein spoke with her and started by asking whether those elements could be transferred to everyday life here in the U.S.
We can create healthy aging communities, homes that incorporate all of this, and I'll tell you how. And on top of that, we can layer on top the modern technologies that we have now available at our fingertips to create these spaces so that they are smart and adaptive to every individual's needs. Ultimately, the goal is to have not only longer lifetime, but a healthier, longer lifespan, a healthier health span.
Well, let's discuss some of the ways to bring that into practicality, because many people will say, that sounds great, but how do we actually implement that? Are we doing things so incredibly wrong now that it really we need to be upended?
Well, in some cases, we are doing things wrong. And the good news is that there is a movement across the nation, across the world, to take into account how the built environment impacts health, well-being, and performance. And this applies certainly to aging. So you can think about it in sort of two buckets. There's the hardware and the software. So the hardware, in my mind, when I use this analogy, is really the building itself, the bricks and mortar. You know, whether it's your home, if you want to age in place, whether it's residential communities for aging or for memory care, if it's communities that are friendly, age-friendly. The structure, the way you build these structures can facilitate or can actually impede healthy aging. So let's talk about the building itself, the home. You can have kitchens and bathrooms that are, we call it universal design. So they look beautiful, but they're actually ADA accessible so that the doors are wide enough for a wheelchair to come through. There are no bumps or stairs. There's countertops that are wheelchair height. And you don't have to necessarily be in a wheelchair, but these things can facilitate independence as we age. The other part of a building, and so still speaking about the hardware, are the building systems, the airflow, so the temperature, humidity, light, sound, all of the things that control, all the technologies that control your ventilation system, your air conditioning, your heating. And there are technologies now that are what we call smart and adaptive. There are many smart and adaptive systems that can be implemented into buildings now that allow for healthier aging, but health in general. And there's more and more coming online. So there's aspects of the built environment that can improve or enhance physical activity, sleep quality, mood, and certainly there's nutrition. There are the things that you do in those spaces that the spaces can facilitate.
Dr. Sternberg, it sounds to me as though a lot of these play into the, I'm going to say it's a simple term, though it is not a simple feeling, and that is stress. It sounds as though stress is such a health reducer that as much as we can reduce stress, it sounds like what you're saying about being outside more, these healthy environments, really sounds like a double punch there, knocking out stress as well, as much as we can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And all of these things, when I give my talks, I show a slide which shows elements of the environment that stress and elements of the environment that can calm. Plants can calm, quiet, not too much noise, not too little noise. High volume noise is stressful. This is an issue, of course, in aging as well. If there's hearing impairments or visual impairments, that must be taken into account in how you design the environment. You know, if you have a person who has a hearing disability and goes into one of these restaurants or spaces that are now designed to be extraordinarily noisy, That's a stressor in addition to it harming hearing. So all these things have to be taken into account when you design the environment. And then, you know, I've spent a lot of time talking about what I call the hardware of the environment, designing for aging. But there is this element that I've touched on as I've been speaking about what you do in those spaces. So that's the analogy to the software. What do you do in those spaces? So, and that speaks to reducing stress. All these things help reduce stress. There's social support, emotional support, spiritual support. If you don't have a space to be quiet and to think or to pray or to meditate, whatever it is that you in your own personal life need to do, it doesn't allow for these activities. The same thing is true for physical activity, including things like Tai Chi or yoga, exercise of any sort.
How much of this can be done house by house, community by community, and how much of it almost has to be industry driven to some extent?
The answer is yes, yes to all of the above.
Okay. So
we need to implement all of these different kinds of devices, systems, design in all kinds of housing, whether it's individual housing, whether it's affordable housing to luxury housing for people who would like to age in place. And there are people who would prefer or would need more to live in residential communities for aging. And there are people who would like to be more integrated in larger communities where the community and the buildings and the homes are age-friendly. And all of this is happening. There is indeed a movement. I've certainly seen it, and we're seeing it increasing as the months go by, where developers are taking this into account, and there is a market for it. I mean, us baby boomers, I'm a baby boomer, and we don't think of ourselves as old. You know, I remember that my grandmother looked old, but I'm not my grandmother. And, you know, we want all of this. So there's a market and an increasing market for aging in place, for aging in these age-friendly communities, for these technologies that will allow for healthy, independent, happy, and less stressful aging. And there's no question, I believe, that Arizona, Tucson, Southern Arizona, we are positioned to be a healthy destination for healthy, independent, happy aging.
That is Esther Sternberg of the University of Arizona's Institute on Place, Well-Being, and Performance. She spoke with our co-host, Steve Goldstein.